Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as you placed your hands on the children and blessed them, so we ask that you would place your hand of blessing on our minds, in our hearts, that we might appreciate the precious gift of children, and that you might use us to pass the faith on to the next generation. Be with us and guide us as we speak and hear your words today. Amen. When children became people, that sounds very odd to us today. We recognize that children are precious. But the very fact that that is just part of our culture today masks the fact that this was not always the case, and that the preciousness of children in our culture today is a fruit of the Christian influence over past generations. It was not always so that children were infinitely precious. You see that already in the Old Testament. When God was bringing his people out of Egypt to the promised land, he spoke laws to them through their leader Moses. And one of those times in Leviticus chapter 20, Moses warns that they are going to go into a culture that does not treasure children. In Leviticus chapter 20, he tells them, don't worship Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites, a god who demanded child sacrifice. Now, we can't even begin to understand what was it that would lead a parent to sacrifice their child. Was it that they were afraid of this god? Was it that they were trying to manipulate this god to do what they wanted him to do? We don't really know. But they were moving into a culture that considered children expendable, a tool to somehow gain the favor of God. And he warns them not to be influenced by that culture. 1400 years later, as the New Testament begins, Jesus sends out his apostles into a culture that did not treasure children. The author of this book talks about the practice of exposito. In Roman culture, the pater familias, the head of the family, had absolute life and death control over his family. The pater familias could choose to exposito, to expose a child, to place a child out where it might be devoured by animals, it might die of natural causes, it might be picked up by some other person, who cares who, to be used, to be grown, raised, and used in horrible, despicable ways. Why? Maybe the child wasn't perfect enough. Maybe the child was born during a time of bad omens. Maybe the child was born at a time when the family just couldn't afford another mouth to feed. Maybe the child was simply the wrong sex. Just as in modern China today, where female babies are not valued, that was true in Roman culture too. Jesus sends his apostles out into a culture that did not see children as people, as infinitely precious. They even practiced abortion way back then. But what changed? When the Israelites moved into the promised land, they brought a different culture. They brought a belief in the God who created all things and all people, a belief that is beautifully summarized in Psalm 139. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. That every child is infinitely precious because it is God who has created this child, even in her or his mother's womb. That's why Jacob, one of the patriarchs, talks about children as a gracious gift from God. And I highlight the word graciously given. God's Old Testament people who understood God's worldview about children recognized that children are not a commodity. Not something that we can choose to have or not have. They are precious gifts given to parents. Not because they've earned or deserve it. Children, infinitely precious. Because they are created by our gracious God. And in the New Testament, Jesus lays the foundation for us to understand how infinitely precious children are. In Luke's account, it tells us that people were bringing babies to Jesus to have him place his hands on them. Babies! The disciples were influenced by the society around them. They didn't see babies and children as that important. But Jesus changes their worldview. Jesus says that these children, they are role models for faith. He says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. That Jesus came for little children. They are precious to him. And the childlike faith that we see in so many children is a role model for us, that we humble ourselves and become like a little child and simply say, yes, Father, we don't understand things, but we trust you just like a dear child trusts a loving father. What happened? So that as the church went out into a culture that did not treasure children. What happened is individual Christians saw children in a completely different way, and that changed the culture. One person at a time had a changed worldview, and that changed the worldview of the Roman culture over the centuries. That changed worldview is what the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. This is true of everyone, including children. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. We see people from a completely different perspective. That was Jesus' worldview. Children, infinitely precious. And that changed the culture of the Roman world. And we are beneficiaries of that changed culture. Children, infinitely precious. But the sad fact is, that as the Christian worldview gradually begins to fade and have less influence on the culture around us, that the worldview about children begins to become distorted. And I wonder if we're seeing that today in our culture. Children are infinitely precious, but we forget the next point, that children are also infinitely evil people. Now, I mean that to be kind of confrontational. All I'm saying is for us to truly value children, we have to remember that they are just like us, that they are infinitely evil just like us. It goes all the way back to Genesis 5. In Genesis 5, as Moses is recording the ancestry of the Savior, he says that Adam was created in God's image, but when Adam has a son, it's after the fall into sin, that Adam doesn't have a son in God's image anymore. He has a son in Adam's own sinful image. Their child was not holy, and neither are ours. That's what King David confesses in Psalm 51 when he says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And so King Solomon gives us this wise advice in the Proverbs: "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away." The caricature that our society is beginning to press in upon us as Christians as well is that, yes, children are infinitely precious, but we will let them make the decisions. Isn't it frightening when we remember that our children are just as sinful as we are, and they are not in a position to make life and death, eternal life and death decisions? If we remember that our children are infinitely precious but also infinitely evil, it changes the way we think about our kids. What is most important for our children? It's not that they have friends. It is not that they are good in sports or good in music or good in school. Those are all good things in and of themselves. But if we remember they are infinitely precious, but they are also infinitely evil just like us, the one thing that they need more than anything else is a rescue from the eternal judgment that they deserve and we deserve to. Our children are infinitely evil. They will not naturally make the right decisions. And parents, grandparents, uncles, and aunts, it is our call who see the world from a different perspective now that Christ has come into our hearts to be willing to discipline them, to be willing to stand up to them and say, "You don't make the decision." That there is no place more important than being right here, where you understand what it means that you are infinitely precious in God's sight. There's no place and no time more important than gathering around God's word in a family altar. We used to call it that. All it is just opening up your Bible and reading with your kids. There's There's so many other things that are fine and okay and good. But if we remember this truth, our children are infinitely precious. There is nothing more important than remembering also that they are infinitely evil people who need the Savior just like us. I so much appreciate King David's words in Psalm 25. He says, "Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good." The rebelliousness of our children comes as no surprise. We have been guilty as well. But we remember not only that they are infinitely evil like us, but they have been infinitely redeemed just like us. That there is nothing more important than spending time helping them develop a relationship with this God who promises, "I'm not going to remember the sins of yesterday and the day before and the day before, but I'm going to remember you according to my love." And to teach our kids that Jesus is God's love in person and in flesh and blood. And so King Solomon, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." We want to do everything that we can as a congregation to support our parents, to help them bring their children to our Savior. Parents have an incredibly difficult task. They need to balance these statements from King Solomon in Proverbs: "Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death." We recognize that this is a life and death issue that God has placed upon us. And at the same time, he warns us through the Apostle Paul, don't exasperate your children. And as parents, grandparents, uncles and aunts, as we try to help our kids understand how precious they are, how sinful they are, how they've been redeemed by the Savior, we're going to fail. And so, I would remind you that what's true of our children is true of us too. I think sometimes we're afraid to talk about parenting because parenting is an incredibly guilt-provoking undertaking. But remember, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, uncles and aunts, you are infinitely precious in God's sight too. That our God knows that you are going to make mistakes as you try to help the children in your life, because you are infinitely evil. But remember, you too are infinitely redeemed. I put the baptismal font right here in the front. We don't have a baptism today, but I want parents to remember those days when you brought your children up to be baptized. You brought your children because you knew that they were infinitely precious, that they were infinitely evil, they desperately needed a Savior, and they were infinitely redeemed by Christ, and that in baptism they were promised that they would be clothed in Christ, that God the Father wouldn't see their sins anymore, they would see Jesus' perfection. Remember that day. And then go back to that day, not just for your children, but for yourself. And claim that again. That in your baptism, your Heavenly Father is saying, "This is my daughter. a mom to my infinitely precious children. This is my son, a dad to my infinitely precious children. This is my son, this is my daughter, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. Remember that you are infinitely redeemed. Just a couple of last thoughts. Children are infinitely precious. That's part of why so much of our ministry is about passing on the good news of our Savior's love to the next generation. In a few minutes, we're going to see a video that introduces the whole idea of seeking to pass on our spiritual inheritance to generations to come. Our children are worth of the greatest sacrifices that we can make so that we can team up with our parents, not taking their place, but team with our parents to help them and help their children know these truths. But there are certainly parents here today who are filled with grief because they have children who are making decisions, especially adult children, that are making decisions that are leading them farther and farther away from Christ. And I want you to remember Jesus' story about the lost son in Luke 15. In Luke 15, the younger son showed how he was infinitely evil. He rejected everything about his dad. He wished his dad were dead, and he leaves with half of his dad's property. But that son remained infinitely precious to that dad. The dad kept looking and waiting. And when that son recognized his sin, not only was that dad waiting, infinitely precious was that son, but that son was infinitely redeemed. He again had a place in his father's home. Remember that story and know that our God can do that kind of miracle in our children who are straying away. This past week, somebody suggested a book to me, Change of Affection, A Gay Man's Incredible Story of Redemption. A story of a man who rejected everything that his mom and dad stood for. Infinitely sinful. But continued to be infinitely precious to his mom and dad and his siblings. And the Holy Spirit worked an incredible miracle in his life. And he remembered the love of his parents, the love of his God. You see, the Holy Spirit can work miracles. And so, if our children are little, God help us to discipline them in love. God help us not to exasperate them. God help us to let them see that there is nothing more important than their relationship with their Savior. If we have adult children that have strayed away, God, hear our prayers for them. And with that, I just ask you to please stand and let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have taken taken us up into your arms and blessed us. We didn't deserve it. But you did it. You've claimed us as your own. Blessed us with forgiveness, life. And now we pray for the children that are in our lives, whether they are our own children or the children of our family and friends. We pray, Lord, that they might know how infinitely precious they are in your eyes, not only in ours. That we help them see their sin, but daily help them see you as the Savior who redeemed them completely and claims them as your own. And Lord Jesus, we pray fervently for the children who have strayed far away from you. We know that they are still infinitely precious to you, that you have infinitely redeemed them. You've paid for all of their sins. And we ask, Lord, that you would work a miracle in their heart, even as you have worked in our hearts, that you would bring them back to you. Lord, you have performed this miracle over and over across the centuries. And that's what enables the Christian church, generation after generation after generation, to confess together our faith in the triune God. Let's join together and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,